WSFK 665 on channel monitoring. WSFP 902 from WSFP 793, thank you, Al.
Yes, the Ad 993 monitor your station.
WRK359.
Happy Thanksgiving, Robert. WRK544, your friend, the Boise County Bob.
Happy Thanksgiving, sir. Be safe. If you're traveling, please be safe as well. WRZP 544, Sheboygan County Bob, clear the net.
WSFC 793, calling WSFP 902, thank you, Ralph.
WSB C277.
Turkey.
Anybody have a copy on WSDS 311?
VW 572, I got a copy on you. WRJV 633. Beckett, are you available? WRJV 663. Beckett, are you there?
WRWX221 Mobile. LS station, you are pretty hard to read. I did not catch that.
WSB VH69 monitoring from Madison Heights.
WSFT 902 from WSFZ 793. Frank, you out there?
If that was you, you're mumbly, scratchy.
I'm not shocked.
Oh, there you are. Well, that's a different person. I was expecting a communication on a test from Shawas County, but I don't think he's got his tail tone set correct.
I'm going through the Mayville machine for Bay City.
I didn't realize Mayville was up and running. That's good to know. I'm going to the flip machine. WSFB 853. You out there? Well, this guy literally just got his GMRS license and then went out and bought a complicated Bofang. I mean, a complicated one with color screen and hundreds of options that are extra, and he's like, he can't hear anything, and, okay, he's on a dining room table, but he can't hear anything.
Is he new to radio?
Yes, entirely.
Yeah, I only ask because maybe he has the squelch gate on that radio set up a little too high, not enough to trigger anything but a strong signal.
I'm about to phone him, I think. I built him an antenna, got him some coax, got him a tall Nagoya for his handheld. Tried to make it super simple. Programmed the repeater in there for him, and it says it's on zero. I don't know, I feel like I'm trying to troubleshoot a space exploration down here on the ground.
Sorry, my apologies for laughing. Been in those situations, probably couldn't have said that better myself, but yeah, there's a gentleman, friend of mine in his 70s, in the earlier 70s, and he's been on multiple radios his whole life, but the long story short of it is, I was thinking about getting them set up on GMRS, but I feel that I would be inviting the same type of headache, but not just in your general circumstance, but long term. I feel that I should keep running over and troubleshooting and kind of forget where everything's supposed to be set, and we'd somehow chase our tails and go right back to you know, first base and run the game. So back to you, my friend. Sorry, WRWM 638 in Taylor.
WSEY 842. He's in Saginaw right now, I believe, and he says he can hear the Flint system coming in, but I don't think his settings are set correctly for the Saginaw system. My guess is he doesn't have the direction set or something for transmit, but I don't know. I'll have to see.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm obviously probably triggering the Detroit repeater, and I only have this radio kind of set up for just this repeater only because, you know, I don't know whose repeater's free, who wants you to join something, whatever, and I don't want to offend people, so seems that I get quite a bit of traffic on this one particular repeater, so I just kind of keep it on this one for the most part. Back to you.
Well, on the ham bands, if you build it, they will come, in theory. My equipment's all open for anybody. And I got a new one coming up. I've got a bunch of Vietnam-era 6-meter ham, well, not ham, 6-meter military gear, like the Prick 77, 25, 68, 127s, and all of those cool radios from back in that era. But they're simplex, and I want to use them. So I'm building a 6-meter repeater with link system to get it onto my favorite VHF repeater. And then I'm doing a UHF crosslink also that will allow me to use it for other frequencies. But if they lift their repeater in their settings on the GMRS national map, then it should be a fair game.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. And truth be told, if I do get on another one, I'm sure just, you know, politely asking, you know, I'd be set straight without a bunch of rudeness. You know, I'm sure they just, whoever's on frequency would just kind of let me know what day of the week it is. So if you don't mind me asking, 842, hopefully I got the numbers right, what city are you in?
Right now I'm in Flint Township, and normally I'm either in Owosso or somewhere on the road. But, yeah, I think if somebody has the need to try to tell you off because you're using U.S. government airways, they licensed the ability to be there, and, well, nobody owns the frequency. So, I mean, I guess it gives some common etiquette there for somebody that has a closed system, but to me, that just seems like it's going to invite wackadoodles to mess with you.
Fair enough. And to be clear, no one's ever, you know, shown me nothing but kindness on any of these frequencies, so yeah, I just want to be clear about that, but yeah, for sure. Very cool. I love to see it growing. You know, I've played around with these types of radios in the 90s, late 80s, early 90s, and whatever. And obviously it was nowhere near as popular as it is now and getting. Just even in the last year, I'm pretty impressed with how much more traffic and everything. And just seems to be doing really well. So I hope that sticks. It's not just a phase. Back to you, my friend.
Yeah, this is definitely nice because the UHF systems, this is the first UHF system I've used that has been this reliable. I'm on a handheld, and I've run only Motorola for the longest time for permanent radios. I've got Bofangs and all sorts of stuff. I must have kind of everything, but I've been using Motorola since 1996. And it's just one of those things. The quality of them is really good, but I've always had an issue getting in on UHF repeaters. And for whatever reason, the UHF repeater in Flint is just amazing. And so is the other repeaters along the network.
Yeah, understood. Copy all that. For sure. And with me, I'm same thing. You know, anybody in the radio hobby has a somehow ends up with a collection. You know, you start out with one or two, and before you know it, you own a little bit of everything. So, same with me. Mixed bag of stuff and handhelds and some mobiles and even a mobile used as a base. Right now, I'm on a Midland, and it's a portable, and I got it running off a battery pack, just playing around with it. And you know, it's so it does more than, you know, 4 watts or whatever. That seems to work better for me over here. My antenna isn't very high at all. Kind of mounted on a little J-pole on the back of the garage and surrounded by woods. So it kind of seems like I need a little extra wattage there to make a solid connection with the repeater. At least it seems that way. If I was to drop this down on medium or low, I think you would lose me. But anyways, yeah, back to you. Definitely enjoy the hobby for sure.
Yeah, speaking of that, I'm thinking of a way to run the hard line for my UHF system into my house. I've got a quarter-inch Heliax, and it's not the greatest stuff in the world, but it works. I got 32 feet of it, and I'm going to put up a dual band UHF antenna. I say dual band, I mean dual meaning purpose, which is it's right on target for the UHF ham band, and it's right on target for the GMRS band. And I sell those at my shop in Owosso. They're great. I've been building antennas, but these are great, and they're more cost-effective. Plus, people can put them in their hand and check them out right then and there.
I'll copy that 100%. I have a GMRS, you know, Midland mobile antenna, a bit bigger one, not the little short one that they usually give you with their radios. And I do have Comet makes it. It's a dual band antenna also. I want to say it does, you know, 70 centimeters and 2 meter. It might even be a tri-bander. I'd have to look at it. But I just went lazy with the GMRS antenna because it's already pre-tuned. This, I am talking off at least a base antenna, but again, it's still low to the ground. And, like I said, I think I have to run this on high for you guys to get a good copy on me. But same thing, I ran way too much coax and cheap coax to boot. And it's like, look, you got money in an antenna, you got money in a radio. Why'd you go cheap, you know, with the coax? But I kind of didn't know where I was going to put this antenna. Couldn't make up my mind. Easy sale on Amazon. Click. Okay, it's sent to my house the next day. So looking back on it, that is one thing I do need to change. Probably run a shorter feed line with it with a lot better coax. So back to you, my friend.
Yeah, I run my coax pretty direct with almost no spare, a little bit, but not much, and do a lot of loss calculating, can determine what works best versus what doesn't with that length. If something's lossy at 100 feet, like cut it down to if you only need 25 feet of it. So you quarter your losses. Loss goes over length, as you've determined. But one of the cool things I'm working on right now is I'm building a 1990s 911 center. And I've got the UHF and the VHF system up and going. I have the second UHF system coming up for GMRS. I have the ham radio that's going to be UHF, and then the VHF is strictly ham radio. And I'll be bringing up some lower band stuff in the consoles as well. But it's all the console equipment and what do you call those, desk mics.
I'll copy that for sure. Yeah, wow, sounds like you got your hand in about 10 different pies. So for me, it's just... I'm still young enough to, you know, climb up towers and stuff, so help people put up antennas and all that, and I'm always learning. I mean, obviously, radio hobby, you're just always learning something new and whatever, so I'm never against absorbing knowledge, but you know, setting all that stuff up, everything that you're doing, and linking everything together and all that, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I know but maybe a fraction of what's involved with all that. So I'm not going to lie. I let people like you do all the hard work and get their hands dirty. Then I get to enjoy the fruits of your labor. I know that sounds mean. It's not meant to be. It's meant to be sincerely appreciated. Send back to you.
Yeah, it's cool. It's fine. I half-built it. So, you know, a long time ago I had a similar system built. And it was fun to have people come over and teach them how to do net control. And with the 911 software on the computer, it's a 286 computer that runs the 911 software. So when people log into the net, you put down their call sign as a car, and then a brief description of what they're talking about, the time they, and the system checks the time that they were entered in, and then you can save them as part of your department. So I can put people who are, like, let's say, if I'm doing a net control for RC car enthusiasts an evening, and we're just talking about RC cars on one of our frequencies, and I'll put the officers down of the club as the PD, and I'll put down, you know, maybe some of their up-and-coming people as fire department, and then if they have topics or special announcements, I can put them in my notes area as well, and print that all out at the end, and submit it to them so they can have their log file if they turn them into the 8-0-0 or not.
Wow, that's very cool. Yeah, to the extent as possible. Yeah, very cool. So, yeah, I'm sure that's going to be appreciated by whatever particular groups, you know, enjoy, the fruits of your labor.
Yeah, it's also a gas to get people in to use the system, and it's a Fisher Price. It's Fisher Price by Motorola, busy station, because there's switches and things to do, and it's fun because you can have a dispatcher working, or you can have a guy working on a dispatch seat, because it does 8 radios, 8 phone lines, records everything. And the other section of it is supervisor, and I was messing with that last night on one of our nets, asking what the audio quality was, the difference between the desk mic for dispatcher and the supervisor's bargain feature, which I press a button on the console, and I can talk right onto the console and override the traffic or blend.
Oh, wow, very cool. Yeah, that's a bit empowering, to say the least. Again, you know, you earned it. You earned the driver's seat.
One of the other fun updates that are coming is the pager system. And my neighborhood watch is going to be pretty stellar. We've had it going for quite a while, but I'm getting people interested in getting there. Here in Westlake, since we have a few people up with that, but I think for like Devil's Night and things like that, give people the option to have a reminder sent. They want to have a Minotaur, and I can transmit the two-tone on the VHF system, and beep the pager, plus have the local net for the neighborhood watch people. Just fun. It sounds all whacker-itis, but it's a lot of shenanigans more than anything.
No, absolutely. No, it's very cool. So, and like you said, the most important part of this entire conversation is that you're introducing people to the radio, or even if they haven't been introduced, they're using it, and you know, you're keeping the hobby alive from young to old. So, very cool. You know, absolutely. Like I said, I've never gotten into it in that type of depth to where I know even some of my radios, you know, I could connect them to the internet and remotely control them and listen to stuff and whatever. But I don't know. I'm sort of stuck in the middle. You know, I try to explain to these young kids at work that I because of my age, I kind of grew up in the best time, meaning I watched things go from analog to digital, so I got to experience and enjoy both sides of the fence, per se. So, but with that comes the okay. I know this radio I got can do a lot more, but I'm more of a, you know, hands-on, key up the microphone myself. Equipment's in front of me. You know, I have software-defined radios, but you know, still got to have a couple of lights and buttons and knobs on it for me to play with, or I'll get bored real easy. So back to you, my friend.
Are you an amateur operator as well?
Negative. One of them. I'm in the camp where most, but a lot of people are really, you know, for years, I'm gonna, and, you know, life gets in the way, get busy, trying to find testing places, everything. I know I have enough radio knowledge probably to just need to really study up on some specific ham rules. I know generally, I know most of them, but probably just, it would take time invested to learn, to educate myself on what I need. So it's just a matter of just, you know, it's like the guy who says he's going to go to the gym and, you know, 20 pounds over and keeps talking about it but don't do it. So just, you know, being totally transparent. But it is something I really should do because I do enjoy the hobby for sure.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. I've wandered away from it for years and just got back into it. Yeah, actually got GMRS and got back into it hard. Sitting on my stash of Motorola equipment and then just acquiring more Motorola equipment. I got into ham radio by hacking Motorola equipment into the ham bands. I had one purchased radio as an HTX 202 by Radio Shack, 2 meter handheld, and then basically dumpster dive Motorola parts. And I was like the only person I knew that had a 125 watt Motorola VHF mobile, and it kind of went from there.
Completely understandable. That's my thing. I know. Same thing as you, like, just talking on this stuff here. I was more, how do I put this? You know, because certain people get rubbed wrong by this, but again, full transparency on that. What's the point in lying? I was that guy who wasn't the CB-er who, you know, ran 5 billion watts and made all my neighbors mad and they heard me in their toasters, but I was the guy who put real thought into my antenna and everything and how everything worked, and, you know, would take a 100-watt modified ham radio and really talk all over the world. So I was more VX than the local stuff, even though I, by default, from being on the radio for years, would talk to people locally, of course. But this kind of renewed a new interest for me in actual, like local stuff, just how clear and how again, look at how far apart me and you are. I'm downriver in Taylor, so, you know, there's quite a bit of real estate between me and you, so just in this GMRS growing. So I know that I've had this available to me if I would have gotten a ham ticket for years. So part of me kicks myself that, hey, you could have been enjoying this a long time ago, but I'm still in the camp of better late than never.
Yeah, WFUA 4250. yeah, better late than never. I mean, I guess they'd say that to the Titanic. it's never too late. As a matter of fact, it's gotten easier. So the question pool's gotten easier. The no Morse code general license. I don't even think they have Morse code for any license now. I might be wrong about that. I haven't been to a testing session in forever.
Copy that. Same here. WSWM 638. Yeah, absolutely. Where was I going to go with this? Basically, yeah, I know this Morse code thing was an international agreement. Like you said, now there's Morse code readers, you know, that are probably built right into most newer radios now. You don't need to know it. It'll just decode it for you. So, definitely, you know, like you said, since things got easier, might as well, not to be mean, but take advantage of it. So before the hobby, well, I doubt ham radio would die, but only because even generalized society knows how important it is during natural disasters and stuff. But again, you know, the hobby's only as strong as how many people are enjoying it. So absolutely appreciate the advice for sure.
Well, I'm going to jump out for a few. One of the other things about it is, it'd be nice if we could use maybe 10 more GMRS channels, and those would be dedicated to digital operation, and that would be nice. Slow scan television is really fun. It's where you transmit an image over the radio using tones. Basically setting a color fax. And there's a couple other projects that you could do. You know, people are playing checkers and chess and all sorts of things over some other digital modes. So there's a lot of exploration. And I'd like to see some of that expand, but either that or if they drop the testing requirements, well, if they drop the test requirements for amateur radio, you may have a lot of people access to a lot of power and bad coax choices and a lot of radiation exposures. So RF safety is kind of important. I've been to some repeater sites where your teeth feel it. So, all right, this is WSEY842. Name here is Travis in Flint Township. And I'll be around a little bit. I've got to take care of a couple things and check in on a phone call.
No, absolutely, Travis. For real, I can definitely appreciate the safe RF for sure. I've seen some of the guys, even in the CB world, stand next to a car with, you know, light bulb in hand, lighting up, and just you're thinking, yeah, that's probably not too good. You know, hair is probably going to fall out in a year or two, but, you know, glad they can hear you in Texas like you're next door. But not to mention, like you said, the interference with the people around you and businesses and whatever. So, as long as they regulate it and space everything out and put some sort of limitations, I suppose, that are best for all. Absolutely. So, personal on this end's Randy, Romeo Alpha, November Delta Yankee. And I appreciate it. I appreciate the cue. So, have a good one, my friend. I'll have my ear to the speaker just listening.
Yep, great to you, so take care, Randy. WSEY842, Flint.
Check. WRWM 638 monitoring. Breaking up a little bit, but you said Ypsilanti, walking through the woods.
Copy. WSSB 5.
Yeah, I'm afraid I only caught part of that. You're breaking up a little bit, but like you said, if you're in the woods, understandable on a handheld. I do have a copy on you and Taylor. Like I said, you probably don't have the best signal where you're at.
Break it off. What an understatement.
I did catch some of the letters and numbers, but I wasn't going to make myself sound ridiculous trying to repeat them back and going back and forth, but I did have a copy on them. But yeah, for sure. He was barely triggering.
50 Sierra Delta Foxtrot 595 Mobile handheld, 27 miles from the repeater.
Absolutely. Okay, I did get it that time. You must have moved in just the right spot, found an opening or whatever. WSBF 595. Yeah, I got a copy on you that time. And yeah, like you said, you're quite a bit, you're pretty far from the repeater, so probably on a handheld. I'd imagine if I heard you correctly, and you're in the woods. Back to you, my friend. WRWM 638.
WSFG95,
not sure how much longer I'll be able to make contact, but I appreciate the copy. 73. Absolutely, 73 to you too, my friend. Enjoy your walk through the woods to your dad's, if I heard you correctly. So, all right, my friend, sounds good. The WRWM638 standing by.
WRPS 201, tow check. WRPS 211, if I get tow check.
Yeah, sounds good, 211. WRWM 638, Taylor.
Roger that, 211, Taylor. Appreciate it, thank you.
Hey, you're welcome, my friend.
WRAS 504, monitoring channel.
WSEV 387 is mobile and monitoring.
WRUT 488, URNW 329. No copy, WIUG 488, WRNW 329, back clear.
Hello, Tim, and happy Thanksgiving, WIUG 488.
Happy Thanksgiving, Jack. Are you watching that big game, man?
Well, that's what I'm going to do right now because I just woke up. I had to sleep a little bit over, you know. I got up early. And you know what, let me go to sleep, but I know there's a game on. I'm going to, on channel 62. Roger.
Yeah, just, they've been playing out. It's first half is already, first half is over already, but they're up right now.
That's good. They're going to win. Watch and see.
Now, hopefully, they keep up the good work in the defense. And, everything else good on your end? Are you getting some turkey dinner today?
Not now. I got to go over to people's house. They invite me over, so I got to go there. Go eat turkey dinner and come back home.
Okay, I copy that. Yeah, well, you definitely need a little rest. Take a little nap for that. So you should be good to go.
Yeah, especially that weather outside. I don't know about that weather outside. It drops down at night at 29.
Yeah, it was pretty cool out for sure. Dropped right down.
Well, what are you going to do? Anything on the 10 meter?
Yeah, I was playing on 10 meter this morning. Band has opened up pretty good. I got over Africa. I hit Brazil. Where else I hit? Some other island over there somewhere. I have to look at my logs. It was pretty good this morning.
It's going to be a swamp top. I don't know if you know that, a big beaver on the first.
On Sunday, huh?
Yeah, Sunday. If you want, I got the information.
I was checking it out online. I was trying to make it over there. Maybe I can find me a good HF vertical, maybe.
It's the best thing you do. Vertical is the best. I got vertical from 1982 till now, and it's really excellent. They don't go bad at all. But you have to find the tube you want. It's vertical. You got 10 meter, 15 meter, 20 meter. That's what I got. 10, 15, 20, 40, and 80.
Yeah, that sounds like a good... That's like a four bands. You got four bands on that one. How long is it about? And is it a ground plane? Got a horizontal zoning?
Four elements comes out of it. Small elements, you know. Well, not fiberglass, but the aluminum. And it's long. It's about, I don't know, maybe about 20 inch long or something like that. That's what it's got. Roger?
Feet or inches? 15 feet or inches long?
Oh, I would say about 15 feet high.
Yeah, I copy that. That'd be something I could get. I could put on my maybe get a chimney mount for it and put it on a chimney. I'd be up about 35 feet. That'd be good height, I believe. The dipole is working for now, but I like to get something I can put up and just leave it up and be done with it.
See, the way I got it, you know, I got a hole in the ground and put it on the post, two posts, and raise it up a little bit higher from the house. The house, he's only, what, 7 feet high? I think something like that. I don't know exactly. And that's what I got, a 7 high, and then, you know, I just put it, you know, like a bracket, put it on the bracket, and it does not move nowhere.
Copy that. I was looking at a guy had one online, a butter something. Honestly, I can't think of the proper name, a butter or something. He wanted $250 for it. It's an all bander. I think all bander six, no, maybe six band. Maybe it's a six band. He wanted $250 for it.
I don't know, maybe that's about right for all the bands, but you know what, if you don't have the radio, you know what I mean? I mean, look, to me, this is the way it goes. Nobody out there on 80 meter, you'll find a few people on 80 meter, but you don't find too many people on this other meters, you know, like 40 meters, not too many people go there, so it depends what you want. I don't like not that 6 meters and all that because hardly anybody on them. And the 440, that is worse. You get 2-3 people on that and that's about it. So I don't like all that stuff, you know. I like the one where the people are always there, like a 20 meter, 10 meter, you know what I'm saying? 15 meter, yeah, that's fine, you know what I mean? But the rest, 80 meter, you know, you find a few people, but it's already there. You got the two for it. But 160, and nobody goes out there in 160. There's a few people out there, they got 160. That's about it.
I copy that. Well, I'm just I've been stuck on that 10 meters for now. That's all I can actually talk on for the HF for now, I guess. I can do FT8. I haven't got into that now yet, anyway. Guess that's a little more money, a little more technology here.
I was just saying, you know, but, you know, the way I look at it this way, on the right, there's the trees. On the left, there's the trees. On the back of the house, there's the trees. Wherever you go, there's trees. So, what's your solution? You're not going to get too much out of 160, the band 160. And an 80 band, you're not going to get too much out of it. So, unless you take it 60 feet high in the air. And that's waste money. To me, it's waste money.
Yeah, I copy that. Maybe I'll get over to the, I know it's off of, let me see. I have to look at it again. I can't pull out the address. I had it online. I was looking at it. I'm not sure what time it opens up over there for the swap meet. But maybe I go over there and see if I can find something.
You're not gonna find nothing there, but you know, because it's a swap shop, the only way you can do it is ask the people there. See if somebody have them. You know what I mean? Or somebody want to get rid of one or two, something like that. You won't find there at all. But it's coming like 8 to 4. Hey, no, 8 to 12.
What you do is you bring the sign for the
back. I check and make sure I'm not working.
Walk around.
I don't think I'm working. I mean, I put in for it, but I got to check.
I'm not
working.
What they want to say about the
sign.
I've always done stuff that way without looking around too hard. So, yeah, put a sign for what you want, and presto. Somebody walks up to you and says, hey, I got one of them.
That's how that's working. I've never been to a swap yet. I've always wanted to go. Seems like I can hardly catch them because of all the work, and more work. But maybe you run into something.
I think somebody's double on you, anyhow. I don't know who's the other station out there.
About in August, they closed up 2 hours early because they had 5 people come.
I didn't get all that chance right there, doubling up.
Go ahead.
Get me down to a little bit later. I gotta get me some tea going. You take care. You have a good Thanksgiving with the family. WIUG 38.
Hi, Jack. Happy Thanksgiving. Have a good one. Don't eat too much. Don't drink too much. And enjoy the day. Talk to you a little later. WRNW 329.
Happy Thanksgiving, Jack. WFUI 842 in the play.
Thank you, 842. Catch you later. WIUG 88. Hi, Robert, out there, 359.
There is. What? I hope you have a good Thanksgiving. I stayed home. To my relatives, I don't get along with, so I just stayed home myself. So, all right, I'll let you guys go. I'm watching Twister, so. WIUG 35
now will
be clear.
You guys
final.
Robert, good to hear from you. Talk to you a little bit later. WIUG 48.
WSFB 853. You out there?
WSUV 38 Southern Monitoring. WRWM 638 listening. Station 979. WRUG 38, copy. Well, I guess not. WIUG 48 is clear.
Happy Thanksgiving there, Jack.
You do the same, buddy. Take care. WIUG 48 is clear.
Appreciate it, my friend. I talked to you just for a few minutes back in the past, so hope you enjoy your holiday, my friend. WRWM 638.
You do the same thing. You take care and have a good day. WIUG 48.
Waffles in Bay City, calling Mother Goose. Come back, Mother Goose. You out there? Waffles in Bay City, calling Mother Goose. You read, Mother Goose? guess Mother Goose ain't there. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Frequency clear.
WRVU954. Goodness, for stupidity. Phew, that was a sweeter. WICG 959.
WSEY 842. You sound like you're in a windstorm, but you got a good audio.
WSEG 959.
Yeah, I am in a windstorm, and Mount Brown City trying to hit that Mesa repeater. So I guess I did. Thank you very much.
Hey, Tom, is that you? Yeah, okay, well, real good. I'm making the Mesa repeater. Detroit Lions won. And have a good Thanksgiving. WSEY 842.
I think you might be missing a couple numbers there, Junior.
WS, FT308, happy Thanksgiving, folks. Standing by.
WS, FT225, happy Thanksgiving, standing by.
WS,
WRVU 954.
WSFD 853.
Hello, 853. Happy Thanksgiving. How you doing?
Happy Thanksgiving to you as well. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, you're coming in clear. A little bit of static, I guess, around you, but I definitely can make out what you're saying.
Alright, I'm on one of those little bullpen portable radios in the middle of nowhere, pretty much surrounded by a tin can, so I'm kind of surprised I reach anything at all at the moment.
Alright, yeah, no, I definitely can hear you. Good, yeah, it sounds good. It's just a little bit of static, I guess. I'm looking for another word, but I can't figure it out. But no, you're definitely readable, definitely good. Where you at?
In Corona, specifically Judge Corners.
Okay, say that again. Did you say Corona?
Corona, like C-O-R-U-N-N-A.
Roger that. Yeah, that's what I thought you said. That's up near Saginaw or something, I think. I remember seeing the sign going up north and back. I'm actually in Sterling Heights right now, so I'm coming in on the Macomb.
It's actually Shiawassee County. I'm like 20 minutes outside Flint, and I'm actually hitting the Flint repeater right now.
Okay, yeah, I know the distance, because I know where the exit is off of 75 for that city, and, is this a four-way stop? Yeah, okay. And, yeah, no, that's good distance, especially with a full thing. Good deal.
The Flint repeater is at McLaren Hospital, which is 60 miles from me.
Did you say 1-6 or 6-0?
1-6.
Okay, that's still a good trip, but if you would have said 60... which I should have known it wasn't, just because I know the general areas you're talking about. But yeah, if it was 60, I'd be like, oh man, there's some ducting going on tonight.
I was up in Saginaw a couple hours ago visiting some family, and boy, the reception on the repeater out there is spot on, no matter where I go, pretty much. I can hear everything loud and clear, but out where I'm at, I'm quite a ways from the Flint repeater, so... I'm inside the house. If I move my radio at all, like 2 inches to the left, I'll be nothing but static.
Yeah, I noticed that inside my house, too, even though I'm actually pretty close to the ham repeater. And, yeah, it'll work in one spot, it won't work in another. I have an HT that has a Bluetooth mic. I don't know. Get a Bluetooth mic, both things or not, you probably can get like a adapter that plugs in, but then you can like put the HT where you get a good signal, and then the Bluetooth mic you can walk, you know, anywhere in range, and that helps out if you're in a spot where you have to have the radio in a certain spot and get a Bluetooth mic, and it's easy doing it that way. Set the radio wherever.
I got a pretty decent outdoor antenna. I just have to get it put up and figure out like how to get it up above the peak of my house and all that stuff. And I'm one of them people whose heights are like a no-go for me, so I would rather just pay somebody to bring a ladder over and climb up on the roof of my house or whatever. But I may even just throw it up on some conduit for right now and strap it to the side of the house and just get it up above the peak.
Yeah, you know, I use it for my NFED halfway for ham, but I also did it with a 70-centimeter because I put a little backyard repeater in my on my property. If you look on Amazon, you search fiberglass telescoping flagpole. They got these flagpoles that go up like 6 feet, and they're telescoping it. And if you bury it in the ground, like maybe 3 or 4 feet, and pack it in real good, if you're talking about like one of those Comet 6 foot, you know, fiberglass antennas, and it holds it up pretty well, and it'll get you up 22 feet. And that's an easy way to do it, and I think they're under $100, those telescoping fiberglass poles, so something to think about.
That's actually not a bad idea. My antenna's not that big. It's, I think it's 30 inches. I don't know how to describe it. I made it at work. My boss got me into this radio hobby just recently, and he is quite knowledgeable with this stuff, and we handmade an antenna. Supposed to be pretty good, but I got to get it up real high for it to be any kind of functional. I tried like last night with just sticking it in the window or something, and that it was worse than my little whip antenna that's on my radio.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that flagpole thing is pretty neat. I don't think I put up all the sections because it got too thin, so I left some of them out. And then you put U-clamps around it, clamp it right to it, and I think the one I got on that one fiberglass pole was, actually that one might be a metal pole. I might have got the aluminum one for that, so it's a little bit stiffer. But, yeah, it's, man, I lost my train of thought. Yeah, that's a 10-foot Comet fiberglass, that's what I was trying to say. It's a two-piece 10-footer on the aluminum pole. But the fiberglass, you know, depending on if it's only 30 inches or so, that the fiberglass one might be okay. But, yeah, I used a little post hole digger, dug down about 3.5-4 feet, and actually stuck it into, I think, either 2-inch or inch-and-a-half PVC and put a cap, glued a cap on the bottom of that. And I think I even had to wrap some duct tape around it just so it didn't wiggle back and forth in the PVC. And then I got a rubber plug, I guess, for plumbing, and I cut a hole in it so the flagpole would slide down in it, and it'd be waterproof, and then the water wouldn't go down into the ground, and yeah, it works pretty well. I got two NFED halfways on different poles, and they go from like 20 feet up into a tree, about 90 feet for the ham antennas, and they work great.
I'm going to have to look into that. That sounds pretty crafty and sounds like a rather budget-friendly way to get an antenna up high without having to use a ladder. That's what I'm trying to do is just make sure I can get better equipment, but I need to make sure I've got an antenna that can support all that. And I'm just getting into this, so you know, I'm figuring out what all this cost cabling, getting the antennas and getting everything set up the way I want it. I just have a mobile radio right now, but I want to get one in my car and one that's like permanent in my house. So I can have a speaker and a mic at my desk too, and then I can have the radio itself in my, like I've got a server rack that's got like all my media stuff for my living room in it, like my stereo and all my amplifiers and like the printer for my computer, and all that stuff is in this 7-foot tall metal cabinet, and there's a bunch of free space in it yet, so I can put the radio in there and then just run some cabling over to my desk for a speaker and a mic.
Well, there you go. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I got my GMRS license February of 23, maybe it's January of 23. And then by February or March, everybody on here talked me into getting my ham technician, and man, it just, now I got my general. 3 months later, I got my general, and there's so many things I'm doing with radio now. It's just
unbelievable. It's endless. There's always a project going on and money I'm spending, and, but it's a lot of fun.
I just got my license the 14th of November, but yeah, it's already kind of becoming an addiction for me too. I like it. And I've only got one radio, but I've got a handful of mics, and like I'm about to, like the one I'm using right now is a Bofeng. It's an external mic that's designed for the radio, but I've got another one that's a cheap piece of crap that the microphone was garbage in, but it's got a good speaker, and I'm going to take the pigtail off that and see if I can make it work with, I've got one that's meant for a Motorola radio, and I'm going to take it apart and, you know, wire it in for the push to talk and the mic and the speaker and all that, and see if I can make that work.
Yep, you're already tinkering. I give it a couple months, you'll be getting your ham technician license, and then it's all uphill or downhill or whatever way you want to look at it from there.
Yeah, I'm already looking into the ham stuff too, because I've heard that there's even more fun to be had with that, but I just wanted to get my feet wet right now in the radio world and, you know, have some fun with it.
Oh, I hear you. Yeah, when I was a teenager, we had the CDs in our vehicles, and I remember that was always a lot of fun. And I was actually looking into that again. I was like, man, I wonder if anybody talks on TVs. Now that there's all this internet and stuff, it'd be cool to go back to radio. And that's where I found the GMRS and then the ham. And it's pretty cool, man. I actually make contact with other hams through the International Space Station repeater. And six different times now, three different astronauts, I actually talked to the astronauts on the space station. It's just like amazing that you can do that. It's just one of those things that just blows my mind every time I think about it.
Yeah, that does sound pretty cool.
Yeah, and then you get into the HF radio, and you put up a wire antenna from like one of those flagpoles, and then I made a air launcher gun where you put compressed air in it and open a valve, and it shoots a 1 ounce lead sinker with, actually used a fishing reel with fire line, and it put it like 90 feet up at the tree, and then you pull the fishing line through with some paracord, and then you pull up the wire antenna, and man, I've talked all over the world with that thing. It's just unbelievable. And, the Japan and Australia are probably my two furthest contacts, and it's just unbelievable. You can use a radio and talk all over the world. It's like awesome.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun, and one of the reasons I got into it is, you know, if it comes to like an emergency situation where, you know, other forms of communication go down, where something happens, say the world goes into an apocalyptic state, you know, we lose cell phone towers and all that other stuff. And even if we don't have repeaters for this, like these radios still work within a good proximity of each other. You know, you got enough wattage, you could get several miles, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh yeah, I hear you. Yep, yeah, these radios will go. If there's no obstructions, they'll go probably, well, I don't know, right now, you're going 16 miles, so you're hitting that repeater at 16 miles, so somebody else with the same radio as you, well, then again, that repeater is up high, the antenna's up higher, but yeah, you can probably get five, maybe 10 miles if there's no obstructions, yeah, so, no, I hear you, you know, this world's definitely getting crazier and crazier, and you don't know what's going to happen, but that's the cool thing about the amateur radio stuff, though, is, I mean, I've got a little 5-watt HF radio that fits in a backpack, and the antenna's in the backpack and everything, and then I've got a 100-watter that's in a little, like, Harbor Freight plastic mini suitcase kind of deal, and If I needed to talk around the world or anywhere close, if something like that happened, I could do it from my truck, which is really cool.
I've heard all kinds of communications through this repeater already. There's a guy that was in here a few nights ago talking about how he's got, like, him and his family, they've got, like, four radios between them all, and there's another guy that, they were, like, husband and wife. They communicate, like, their whereabouts or whatever with it, and it's pretty interesting. There's been, you know, conversations about, I've learned things about the radio and everything, other people talking to, you know, people that are new like me, and I just listen in.
Yeah, and depending on what bow thing you got, you might be able to listen in on the ham stuff too. I'm not sure exactly which one you got, but you can't transmit without a license, but you might be able to listen. There's a lot of ham repeaters around. If you look at, there's a website and a phone app called repeaterbook.com. You'll be able to see where all the repeaters are for amateur radio and stuff too, and you can listen in on them and get a feel for, I don't know how busy they are out in that area, but there are some that are linked down where I'm at with the ham radio too, and linked around the area, you know, southeastern Michigan.
I got the 5RM. I believe it does everything from the standard FM radio band all the way up to the UHF band. It's pretty... I should be able to do ham radio with it. I don't really know anything about that yet. I've been focused pretty much on the DMRS stuff because that's what I'm licensed for, but I'm pretty sure it does just about everything.
Oh yeah, it will. You'll have to look up that repeaterbook.com and find some of the repeaters around you, and you basically program them in the same way you did this repeater. They're just on a different frequency and probably different field tones and stuff, but yeah, you can listen and then you see how active ham is around you, and it might push you to study, because really with the ham, the tech test, the first one, it's basically memorizing the questions. I think most people, you know, you understand some of what, you know, is going on. Like, I did this ham radio prep course where it's like $70, and they do a video with chapters for each license and test at the end of each chapter. And you understand some of it, but a lot of it you're just memorizing the questions. And then once you actually start doing the practical, hang on a minute. All right, sorry, my dad, I'm out in my truck, and my dad came out, he's trying to give me a box that I'm taking something out of my truck and bringing it in the house to use their tape and tape it up and send it back to Amazon. But anyway, yeah, you memorize the questions, and then once you get the practical and you start doing stuff, then you're like, oh, I remember that on the test, now it makes sense. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah, lots of stuff to do in radio, and I wish I would have gotten into it a lot sooner.
Yeah, I got into it thanks to a friend of mine that I work for. He's a pretty alright guy. He's super knowledgeable with this stuff. Like, he can pretty much take a pile of parts and turn it into a radio just about. Like, it was wild. Like, he showed me how to make antennas and how to, like, I've done, you know, servicing these radios for him and stuff like that. And it's been fun because I like to tinker anyway. Like, I've done soldering and doing circuit board repair and stuff like that for, I lost track of the amount of time. So, you know, soldering and tinkering on stuff and whatnot has always been fun for me. So this just makes it even more interesting.
Oh yeah, for sure, for sure. Like this radio I'm talking on now, it had capabilities for GPS, but I bought the one that doesn't have a GPS in it. So yeah, another ham showed me, hey, you get this little module, and here's a little YouTube video of where you got to solder it in, and then all of a sudden you got GPS on the radio. And then, like, I bought a 600-watt amp used from a silent key that passed away. They said that you needed to update the fan to get more airflow. And, of course, I screwed it up the first time. I didn't read the whole instructions, and I basically hooked the 12-volt fan up to 110 volts and fried the fan, but then I got another one, and I read the instructions and soldered it in, and it's working great, so... Yeah, all kinds of things you can tinker with. There's a part of ham radio called All Star, and it's like a Raspberry Pi. I don't know if you ever ran into the Raspberry Pi mini computers. And then you use a little radio dongle, and it connects to the internet, and you can tie into the repeaters. You can tie into other people's that have nodes and All Star nodes. And I mean, there's just endless projects to tinker with. It's cool.
Yeah, I'm quite familiar with the Raspberry Pi. That's the only one somewhere. I'm not sure if it's whereabouts at the moment. I haven't messed with it in a few years. It's an older one, but yeah, this stuff seems to all tie together with things like that. And that's kind of what got me interested. I thought to myself for a little bit, you know, this is like kind of primitive technology. It's got to be dead by now. But boy, was I wrong. There's like so much you can do with it that I wasn't even aware of.
Yeah, a neat little project with the Raspberry Pi is called a ham clock. Look up making a ham clock on a Raspberry Pi. It puts up like a little map on a screen, and it'll show you where all the propagation is. It'll show you sunspots. It'll show you where all the satellites are, and track them and show you when they're going to be over you. That's a pretty neat little project, the ham clock. And you can get on a Raspberry Pi. It's pretty cool.
That does sound quite interesting.
All right, well, I got to get back into the house here. My parents, I got two trail cameras for deer hunting that I got to send back to Amazon and wrap it up in a box. They got the clear tape here. I don't have any at home. Yeah, I came out to have a cigarette, but it was good talking to you. My name's Captain Don. There's a few Dons out here, so I used to run charters for sturgeon fishing, and so I go by Captain Don because of that, but it was good talking to you, and hopefully you get that antenna up, because I mean, I'm understanding you, but you definitely could add an antenna to make it a little bit better.
Right. My name is Justin. For identification purposes, I'm WSFD853. It's been a minute since I threw that out there.
All right, Justin. Well, it was good talking to you, and hopefully you had a good Thanksgiving, and I'm sure I'll catch you on here again. I'm on the ham bands a lot, but I pop over here a lot too and do some talking. So I'll catch you again on down the line. And this is WRVU 954. I am clear.
Yeah, I'm learning the sounds of everyone's voices up regular on here. And I definitely heard you do a comment here. WSFD853 is clear.
Hello, Captain Don.
Well, Jack, okay, I got another minute or two since you're out here. How are you doing, Jack? Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Same to you, too. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. I'm stuffed like the turkey I ate. Had dessert already. Been trying to do some hunting at my house, but
at opening day, I seen four does and 4 points that was chasing a doe that I couldn't really get a shot at. And I don't know, other than that, just living the dream, man. How about you?
All you can do is living in a dream. These days, you know that. Anyhow, I just want to say hello. I'm going to let you go inside the house. It's cold outside. I got to go over to my daughter's house because she said to come there and eat. I said, okay, no problem. So I'll talk to you a little bit later. WIG 88.
All right, Jack, well, you drive safe and tell the family I said happy Thanksgiving, and I will catch you again sometime soon. WRVU 954.
WSFR 443, can I get a radio check?
Come on back in. Is that WFFR? And that's all I caught up with. WIG. But it is. You're sounding good.
Has doubled on each other, Jack.
Come on back. Is that WFFR? That's all I have. WIG 48, you sounding good, Roger?
Barely audible to me. I couldn't barely make out what he was saying. I did hear radio check and part of his calls, but that was it.
Can you hear me now?
No problem. Well, 853, good talking to you. You take care. And you have a blessed evening. WIG 48, Eau Claire.
WIC 401, look for radio check and a location. This is Detroit.
WIC 387, apparently down in the Tarleton area. Could hear you. It's a little static, but I can hear you.
Roger that. I'm in my basement. Want to check it out. Thank you very much. WSCY 842, Flint. Couldn't copy any of that, all static. That's
stretch of road 2 nights ago, and I was perfectly fine.
I got something about the same stretch of road, and then they popped right back out.
WIUG 488, WRZZ 544. WRZZ 544, the Boise County Bob, monitoring the frequency.
Boise and Bob, how are things going up there? WSUY 842, Flint.
Evening, sir. WRZZ 544.
Have you got snow yet?
One to 2 feet south of us expected here where I'm at, just outside of Indian River, Michigan. We may see anywhere from 1 to 2 or 3, maybe 6 inches at the most. But the mother of all cyclones is coming down from Canada, so and that'll bring lake effect. But south of us currently, Roger.
Oh yeah. Well, as far as I'm sitting in Flint, I don't believe I'm gonna get any. But I did see a couple of weather statements saying that Ann Arbor could see 12 inches and a couple other places along the west side. But it's hard to say. This is Travis, by the way, and Flint. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving. I had a pretty good one. I ate my share of beef tenderloin tonight, I tell you that. So, it was a good evening.
Roger that, Travis. All good. Copy. Yes, all systems go here at the LZ, living the dream, Thanksgiving, and grateful for the blessings that we have here. And all in all, yeah, so thank you for asking, and I'm glad to hear that your belly's full. I'm trying to get old brother Jack there and see if he got into that second turkey or not, Roger.
Oh, yeah, Roger. I believe turkey was definitely second. He got it. He had one, and then I think he went for another, which he was talking about. We're talking about Jack down there in southern Michigan. Hey, Jack, you out there? This is Travis. See what you got going on, man. I don't think, no, what is this call sign? Something 488, but he went over to somebody's place around about time the football game's going to go on. And I know he said he had turkey, and then he's going to go have more turkey and catch up.
Copy, Travis. Yeah, he and I've been texting most of the day. So I figure he got his belly full after that second turkey. He had his cigar and he's kicked back. But yeah, all systems go here at what we call Redbird LZ up here in northern Michigan. And at any time, you're welcome in my receive. And you folks traveling, be careful. It's that time of the year. Going to be slippery out there. And but yeah, Travis, so nothing else new here to report. I'm still working on moving my base station into the house here from the shack. I haven't done that yet. I procrastinated. I have everything I need. I just need the theater done. But yeah, so hopefully you and yours are well. Over.
Yeah, we're doing pretty good.
I went pretty nice to watch a nice movie after dinner. I worked on the 911 center a little bit tonight. Got some more stuff figured out on it. And probably put up the new UHF antenna tomorrow, which will be UHF for amateur radio and UHF for GMRS. It's got two dips in it that are excellent for the band plan, and should work out. I've got a couple of other projects. The 6-meter repeater is moving along just fine. And I got a whole plethora of Vietnam gear that I can talk on and utilize my link system to get back and forth.
Do that. We ate well, good copy on your last transmission. We ate well, the missus and I, far usual this time of year, went over to the Sheboygan County Civic Center, and we served dinner to the folks in Sheboygan County there that are less fortunate than ourselves, so we're blessed in that respect. But I was copying the mail earlier on your transmission. I did copy it, but when you spoke of the Prick 77, my ears spoke up. I'm a retired Army veteran myself, over.
Okay, Roger, yeah, I'm a 15 Tango, but I'm no stranger to the old gear.
That we won't give the goat, but I jumped out of airplanes for a living as well. But I'm definitely retired and living the dream up here. But due to my military service, I am 100% disabled. I blew my ticket test there 4 times due to my TBI. I've forgotten more about radio than hopefully I'll get back one day. But I've been looking into the Handy Ham program, over.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know about that. Gosh, I don't remember the MLS for radio operators. Man, I really don't. But it's been a minute. But, I didn't have anything to do with radio back then. So, but, it's a good thing. We'll put that in the back. I just happened to collect the stuff. I got a whole lot of weird stuff. Man, I got a 2009 troop transport. I got a bunch of goose and halves. I got some cut V's and some other odds and ends.
Roger that. You know I'm your new best friend, right? Over. Like yourself, my Radio Shack is a collection since late 50s on up. I've been saving my pennies, and it was a love from my father. He was a radioman in the Navy, a gunner's mate person and a radioman, so I got his love of communications from him and ended up in aviation communications. It's a long and sordid story of my career, but I find it... quite the hobby, over, but you're so far advanced than I am, and what a collection, over.
Oh, yeah. I got a radio out of a tank in Korea. It's a pretty nice radio. It's one, I don't know, model number. Excuse me, I got Thanksgiving pressure relief valve syndrome. But I got this, it's a digital, I wouldn't call it, it's not LCD, it's LED display. It's 8-inch by 8-inch front control panel, and the radio is about 24 inches deep, 6 meters, and 58 watts, I think is what the output was on it when I tested it last. Then I got Prick 2577s. I've got the 68s, 127s, 152s.
If it was laying around, I picked it up.
Do that. I much did the same. Anything a military auction communications gears wise that I could pick up and repair and fix, that's me all over again. Quite impressive. As I said, I made comment to the missus this afternoon when we copied your earlier transmission that your communications are crystal clear. I'm just currently here on my HT in the living room. I do have a shack. I run a KG-1000 plus out there, and for my HF rig, I'm currently running an ICOM 7300 with the ICOM V2 software on the laptop. So, quite impressive, and I'm a long-time listener, as I said, in the military, all the radios I talked around the world on, and then trying to get my ticket punched as a civilian has proven to be quite difficult at my age. Over.
It shouldn't be too bad nowadays for the HF stuff. I don't think they require college training. I've had my ticket for years. I don't even know. I don't think they require code anymore whatsoever. Seems like you just take a quick study through the 30. Some questions are going to come on the test for your level, and you pass on.
I do that. I pulled that up on my phone when I copied that question. Yeah, there's no code anymore, which is, was never a problem when I was in the military. In my younger days, but it's quite the hobby, and it's quite the enthusiast. Well, Travis, we've used our 5 minutes up on the network, so a pleasure. Hopefully we'll do it again. As I said, I'm a veteran, and typically you'll find me on the air all times of the day and night, so if I'm near a radio, please, sir, enjoy some more conversation. Best to you and yours, and happy holidays from our house to yours. WRZP 544. Sheboygan County. Bob, clear on your final, sir.
All right, take care, Bob. It's all fun and games, so ham radio's a gig that you can get into and do all kinds of crazy stuff. GMRS is so restricted, but when you get to send pictures and all sorts of stuff, that really gets where the fun starts, isn't it? So, I'll be out, WSEY 842.
Good copy, as I said, long-time listener, and, I guess. All right, again, our 5 minutes are up on the old ticket, so we'll do it again. WRGC 544, clear, monitoring, Travis.
WSEV 387 to Travis and Mr. Colstein.
Send again.
WSEV 387, Wade from Redford.
Oh, happy Thanksgiving. How you doing?
Happy Thanksgiving to you too. I'm doing all right. Just about to be pulling up to the house from the in-laws. I just wanted to say happy Thanksgiving. Right?
Well, luckily for me, I've got outlaws, so I'm not a member of the in-law community. So I did have a fantastic evening this evening. I had two nice beef tenderloin steaks, about 2.5 inches thick, with some vegetables, and it was good. Watched a little bit of the Tigers, Lions, got to see them guys go through. And it was a real ass pincher there towards the end, because they were looking like they might not come out, but they did. They took Chicago, and they took them all the way.
Yeah, Yeah, I'm almost jealous about your dinner. Sounds amazing. I caught the tail end of the game. They looked pretty close. I had to work for the majority of it, but yeah, I'm glad the Lions came on top.
For the most of it, they were about 20 points ahead, and then right at the end, they got 10 spread, and then they were, I think, 3 spread, and they just carried it.
At least they didn't turn into the old Lions and choking at the end, so good for them. Well, I better get these dogs in the house before they start crying and moaning that they're stuck in the car. But, you have a good night. Good talking to you. Until next time, WSEV 387 is clear for you.
Yep, have a good one. WSEY 842.
WRPB 448, Kurt from Groveland Township, monitoring.
Welcome from Groveland Township to Genesee and Flint Township. How you doing, Kurt?
I am well today. This would be Travis, I assume?
You got me.
Okay, I've heard you many times on the radio. I do believe this is the first time that we've spoken to each other. Pleasure to make the acquaintance.
Yeah, same here. Yeah, got myself a nice evening and started to convert myself into a beer filter.
Very good. I know all about that. Very good. I take it you were eating some steak today. It sounds real good.
Oh, yeah. I had a last-minute thought to go to the meat counter at the grocery store and see what was going on because everybody's turkey, and everything else. And manager special dropped the tenderloin down to $2. So, what's the guy to do? I had to adopt them all.
Oh, yeah. It seems like that would be the only thing to do. I can't say I ate that good today. Over.
Turkey's nice, but, you know, there is the other option, beef. I gotta say, I did enjoy that. And then I got a plate full of turkey delivered to me. I got a whole bunch of stuff delivered to me this evening from the girlfriend-ish. I say girlfriend-ish because she's ish.
Copy that. So are you off the rest of the weekend, or are you retired?
Yes, and yes. I'm off for the rest of the weekend, and yes, I'm retired. I'll go back to Shiawassee on Monday, where I'll do my stuff that I normally do during the week. I typically drive dump truck for small load transfers, but I run an electronics and communication computer repair company. I own the Radio Shack in Shiawassee. And we sell a lot of other GMRS-related stuff.
The Radio Shack in Shiawassee, eh?
203B West Main Street.
Yeah, I'm typing it in a search engine right now.
Hook me up by our more notable office, which is 10 Computer Repair.
Yeah, I know about that. I've already got that. Nice. So you're the 10 Computer Repair guy. Okay.
That's me, and I pretty much picked up all the local small stuff around me. So I've got the Gen Mobile dealership, I've got the computer store, the cell phone repair company, and the Radio Shack. Plus we do the two-way radio nonsense up there.
Yeah, that's good to know. I remember hearing you guys talking the other night, and you definitely helped out a lot of people, if I recall. So, very good.
That's actually my goal. To help people get onto GMRS and to help people get onto amateur radio. So we build base stations, we sell antennas. I got base antennas right now, which are perfect on amateur radio 70 centimeter, and I got perfect on GMRS, which are the same antenna. And they're for extremely reasonable price, $50. And you put it in your hand, you can see it, feel it. It's got the mounting hardware, everything's there. And you're in good shape. Plus, we got coax coming. I got a whole bunch of stuff. I got Bofang programming cables. I got, there's just everything. We just got it all.
Sounds like I might have to make a road trip one of these days.
Well, that's possible. The other possibility is, mail order, we can save you the trip. You know, I've got to update the web page, and with GMRS taking off like it is, I want to be able to provide people nice Motorola base stations as well, so they can get their favorite repeaters at home and have a nice base antenna that doesn't break the bank.
Yeah, everything I got came from Amazon. I'd like to try to stay away from that a little bit more than I have been. Over.
Nothing wrong with that. It's one of those things where you can return stuff and buy stuff and you don't know what you're getting, or if you come out and check it out, you can feel it. We've got the Nagoya antennas. Those Nagoya antennas are the same doggone antennas as every 15-inch antenna. I can't tell you how many darn antennas I bought for GMRS and put them on my meter. I got a network analyzer. I put them on there, and I test them, and they are identical. And then when you buy the Bofang or whatever, Quashing or whatever, it's like a 50-ohm resistor for 5 watts on top of a radio, and it's absolute trash.
WRPV 448 for identification purposes. My HCs are Bofang GMRS, and they work good enough for me. Usually I'm on my base station or I'm on a Midland in my truck. Over.
Oh yeah, the Midlands are pretty nice. I like, you know, my Motorolas just because they're, if a guy went on to eBay and bought a Motorola and had me program it for a fee, I'd smile and nod and set him up. You can buy a Motorola sometimes for $35, and it's 40 watts. It gets your repeater, you get your main repeaters in there, and you're on the air.
and I'm not much of a cost. I have all the equipment. I've been building Motorola since 1996.
Yeah, that sounds like a good deal, and you're right. Anything that doesn't break the bank.
That's what it's all about. Don't break the bank. I'm encouraging people to ask their friends. You know, the fact that we're on UHF is a hard one because our friends have CB radio cable as a general rule, and that's just not going to work. You know, you can do the math. Okay, so CB radio cable will go for about 20 feet and make it pretty okay and antenna connection. But LMR 400, it'll go 60, 70 feet and get you up there in the air. But how far in the air do you need to be when you're on some good repeaters? And then there's the other side of that, which is unless you're talking to mobiles that are not on repeaters, you have your favorite quote-unquote simplex. We would use those quote-unquote simplexes, and we set those up for, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 miles to the HT, and it's pretty good. But we can come up with a solution that doesn't cost so much, because my goodness, GMR our LMR 400 is so expensive nowadays.
Yeah, right now I've got a 25-foot piece of some pretty thin coax. I'm 26 feet up in the air with like an 18-inch $36 Amazon antenna that I can't pronounce. And my radio is a Radiodity DV40. I might add, this is my second one, as my very first one smoked out on me the day I got it. This second one seems to be working just fine. Over.
Yeah, and the Motorola's, they don't smoke out. When you bring a Motorola to me, I'll suggest that we do a capacitor replacement if that's in the service guideline. But otherwise, on the alignment side of things, we just put it together and send you. And as far as that coax, do you know what brand of coax or what model that coax is?
RG8X, maybe?
RG8X, extremely lossy on UHF. RG8U, low loss, a little better, depending on the build. It's all about distance and wattage. So you got to think about your wattage. If I'm going to run 100 watts on that, it's going to want to fly out of the cable because of the shielding situation and the weave. So I'm going to go to LMR 400, try to keep it in there. But if you're not running too far on that cable, you could be doing pretty good. But you got to configure, you're going to lose about almost 20%, 30%.
I'm running on the 20-watt setting on my radio right now. I do have a piece of 400. I've just got a health issue right now, and I can't do any antenna work. I really can't lift anything right now at all. So my SWR on this channel is 1.6. On my antenna on the other channels, they're like 1-to-1.
Well, that's weird. You'd be 1.6 on these channels, unless you're down on the lower bins, and then that was cut there. Our antennas that we offer are 1.2 on amateur radio and 1.2 to 1.3 throughout GMRS. But there's so many antennas out there, there's so many people producing equipment, it's hard to say. It's kind of a roulette wheel, really.
Yeah, I can see that. Seems like every time I click on Amazon, it seems like there's just more and more of the stuff. Over.
I'm beginning to start to see a lot of artificial GMRS stuff, which really is irritating me. I'm starting to see some 17 to 20 inch tall whips that say they're GMRS, and when I put them in the analyzer, they're absolutely 6-7 to 1. Really horrible. They'd be great on 50 beggars, but they're no good on 460. So it's one of those things. And if there's a way to do it, there is a way to take a place, and there's a way to take somebody's money.
Copy that. Well, Travis, I'm going to go ahead and take a break for a little bit, I think. It's very, very good to make your acquaintance. Very, very informative. Look forward to speaking with you again. Again, very, very informative. This is Kurt, Groveland Township. I'm right next to the Holly State Rec area. In fact, I'm looking at it out my bedroom window. And WRPV 448, Kurt from Groveland Township. I am clear on your final, Travis. Again, thank you.
Oh, yeah. I'm familiar with the area. I've camped out there a few times. Yeah, anything I can do for you, I'd be happy to. And anything we can share, we've even started doing some homemade antennas, which they're strictly GMRS, but they work out great. They're flat along the GMRS area, but they're not great for amateur radio. But the antennas I've been importing to the United States, to China, those are very good. And we've got them. We got a whole bunch of stuff. So this is WSCY 842, and happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
WRZP 544, start. You got that radio on? Over.
WRPV 448, hello, how are you today?
Good, sir. All systems go here at Redbird LZ. It was a good turkey day, and I stopped eating your mail there with Travis. Yeah, he's quite the interesting individual. And I would like to remind you all, any time of year here with the MI-8 network, let's take a pause between our transmissions in case somebody has emergency traffic or someone else would like to join in the conversation. Over.
Very good point. My apologies.
It's all good. It's all good. Our families travel these roadways, and you know everyone's safe as done. No harm, no foul, gentlemen. How's the old PC? Thank you, sir. And thank you, Travis. Thank you, sir. Kurt, and network here.
Don't really have much to say today. To me, it's just another day. All of our family, you know, if they weren't working, they were over at their in-law's house or whatever. So me and the missus just stayed home like any other day. Everybody else had a good Thanksgiving, I take it, and it sounds like the Lions did as well.
Roger on the Lions.
Roger that. Most of my military career, Kurt, I was outside of CONUS. I didn't get to follow sports. It was usually 2 or 3 days old by the time it got to me. But, yeah, good deal. Good Thanksgiving here. We were able to get back to the community by serving meals at the old Salvation Army today. And much like yourself, it was reading the XYL. So, again, sir, from my house to yours, you know, we keep you in our thoughts and prayers, and anything we can do, you just give us the old holler. Roger.
Yeah, copy that. When I was living in Detroit 1 year, I went to a soup kitchen on a holiday and doled out food for all the locals, and I found that most rewarding and satisfying at the end of the day. It really, I felt good. So, good for you. Over.
Don't drive a Mercedes-Benz soup kitchen. You will not have emblems.
Roger,
it's funny you should say that, because I did see Richie Carr in front of the plane, and nobody touched it, because whoever got out of the car was probably known by the community, if you know what I mean.
Sounds like Travis has got it going on down there. Quite the collector of interesting items, to say the least. Let's see what Travis has to say about that. Travis, the network's here, sir.
You guys doubled. I was just saying, don't drive a Mercedes-Benz to the soup kitchen. I did that for a long time. And I just happened to get a Mercedes diesel because I like to run it on vegetable oil. And I'm not highfalutin or anything. I'm about as casual as it gets for being a beer filter. And they stole all the logos off the car while I was there. Whatever.
That's pretty interesting, yeah. We'll write that one down. All right, well, Kurt, it's always a pleasure, sir. And as always, you folks take care down there. And as always, a pleasure to have you in my receiving. I'll go ahead and clear the net and turn it over to you, Kurt. WRZP 544, clear monitoring on your final, sir.
Well, thank you, Bob. Sorry about doubling over you a minute ago. Yeah, enjoy the rest of your evening. Travis, you take care. This is WRPV 448, Kurt, Groveland Township. I will be monitoring the frequency. Take care, guys.
All right, well, take care, guys. So this is WSUA 842, and have a good evening. I'm waiting for another beer delivery.
Gentlemen, WRZZ 5, Dream and Network.
WSFB 853, Dream.
Well, you sound pretty okay for a guy that has no outside antenna.
Yes, I got the radio in just the right spot again. I was down here for a little while earlier talking to Captain Dodd.
Well, yeah, it's all right. I mean, you got a little bit of eight bacon fry, but things are sounding okay. I was wondering when you're going to pop out. Of course, we were probably sniffing the repeater's courtesy tone a little bit. You have to spend a minute and about 2 seconds. Leave it for the old guys to get in. I'm a schmuck. I don't do that too often. You start doing it better.
was up in Saginaw earlier, the dusting up there is great.
Yeah, unfortunately, you didn't have your programming correct.
I need to redo it anyway, because when I, you know how it displays the two different channels on the screen, if I switch to the bottom portion and change the channels, it shows the numbers and not the name, so I don't know if it's a setting in the radio, I gotta figure out what, but I need to go through and reprogram that anyway, and I need to put that private one that you set up for words in there too.
Yeah, that wouldn't hurt. You actually need to get used to laying out your stuff, but you have to bring the thing into the office, and we can go through it, set that all up proper. It really wouldn't hurt if you grabbed a 40-watt unit that had the Flint system in it, and then slapped that up on that antenna.
When I put that up is I want to get something else off the, like, put a radio in my rack and set up a setup where I can have, like I was saying, basically a remote speaker and mic at my desk, even if it ends up being one of these, or just go to this radio and I put, like, a remote jack to plug it in at my desk or something like that.
Yeah, that would work out pretty good. Tomorrow, I'm anticipating putting up the new runs that we've been importing. Those are actually pretty good. But the first thing I'm going to do is see if I can blow one up by throwing 100 watts into it.
I know when I put up the antenna that he made, going up close to the peak of my house, that's probably going to be 20 feet in itself. I'm probably going to be, I'm going to estimate 50 to 75 feet of cable, because it has to come in through the house somewhere and then make it into my rack. The antenna's probably going to be mounted to the side of the house, so the cable would have to come around and probably up through the window right by where my rack is. Might even be able to pop it right through the wall next to the fiber optic cable where the cable comes from already drilled.
Yeah, that's probably that's probably going to be what you're going to do. And then you're basically going to just have a radio room, and then you're going to migrate your other electronics to the radio. That's what we all do.
My air quotes is basically going to be my desk. Like, all the radio equipment itself is going to be in my rack. It's currently mounted, not moving. I want to put a little remote like a speaker at the desk so I don't have to be carried by the rack.
I mean, that may work, depends on where you're at with it, but you're normally, because you're so far out, you're going to have a situation where you're looking at sitting down and utilizing your base station to communicate with repeater, opposed to like me, which I'm not very far from the repeater, so I can have an HF, or I can, HF. Even an HT, then be like anywhere in my property or town and make communication. So, which the repeater is really good.
I'm not certain. I'd really be concerned. How good are you with the connection versus me at the same location? Motorola versus Mofang.
I'd like to get something, whether I borrow it or buy it, but like, is there something out there where I can connect this antenna to it while I'm installing it and basically see where it's going to get its absolute sweetest signal at? So like, say, you know, what if I pick it up on the side of the house in a location that happens to be in a little nook in the air that's absolutely terrible or something? Like, is there a tool where I could see what that antenna is receiving to make sure it's, you know, like in a sweet spot, basically?
I mean, it's not like programming a satellite. Did I take the second Motorola radio battery from the office the other night?
No, last time we talked on the radio, you said you forgot it on the charger, and I had mentioned that I'd seen the charger got knocked off the counter back there.
Yeah. All right. That makes sense.
I remember seeing a battery in it at one point, so I don't know if you grabbed it, but I know before I left the office Wednesday, that it was laying on the floor and the battery was no longer in it. So I suppose it's possible you could have grabbed the battery out of it on your way out at some point and knocked the charger down in the process, and I didn't notice it, but I remember seeing the battery on the charger at one point.
Yeah, that's actually what I'm thinking. I put it in my other bag. I pulled it out from the Empress because Jess, she couldn't figure out what the heck it was because she's not regular Motorola. And she just thought it was toggle bar.
I just want to set something up here where I'm not limited by a battery, like where it can run off the battery, but it doesn't have to, you know what I mean? Like one of them units you got, like, that can go in a vehicle or whatever, but I can just power it off with 12 volts in my rack and mount it, like, so I've got a couple of cabinets I want to set up that were from random things I picked up from the kid in town. And there was another unit that's in my rack that's kind of like used as a storage container because it, like, I don't even know what was in it at one point. I think it was a PVX or something, but she gave me the empty cabinet from the farm and I put it in my rack. And I could pretty much modify that to do whatever I want because there's nothing in it. And it's housing a 12-volt power supply in it, but I don't think it's powerful enough to do anything good with it.
WSUY 842. Yeah, that thing from the farm, that was a AM General military vehicle test console, and I think I got rid of all of them, but we did keep the Ellen Bradley systems, but the radio, we could do that. We could build a radio. It would work with it. Well, it's not a 19-inch rack. It might be. I don't know. I didn't think about that. Oh, well. You're the last person to have one of them. But, yeah. A 19-inch rack. I don't know. Kind of like the 911 center I'm building.
Yeah, it's a 19-inch standard rack. That big 7-foot tall one you gave me from out at the farm. I had to order special screws for it because they use I wasn't aware until after I brought that thing home that they used an extremely special type of thread.
Go Army. Yeah. When I brought those five units back with me, they kind of just sat there. I think somebody turned one of them into a pot plant. Growing, I don't know what it is. They turned into a seedling growing unit. But all the computer mechanisms are down in our shop basement, which we actually need to get back to recertifying those things.
I want to build that rack out to do like all kinds of cool stuff. That was my intent when I got it. Right now it's only got a GPS in it that's rather useless. There's no batteries in it. And every time I engage my printer, when it's connected to it, it shuts the entire rack down and makes that thing just puke all over itself pretty much. There's no batteries in it. So I got to disconnect that. And it's pretty much just my printer and my stereo amplifier, like head unit for the surround sound, and just a couple other fillers like shelves and stuff like that, but I want to actually add some useful stuff to it.
I mean, yeah, whatever Art Deco whatnot you're going to do with that thing, that'd be good. I'm thinking, when I get in Monday, I think I'm going to get a drawer unit. I don't know. I don't have any drawer units for UHF. I got to figure out what I got out there for UHF. But I want to fix the problem with the consulate for Spectra, which has been very difficult because it's missing the control Y connector.
The problem with that rack is I can't put like a server. I can't really put a server in it unless it's rather shallow because I think it's only like 24 inches deep or something like that. I had a 1U server I was going to try to put in there at one point, but it hangs like 18 to 24 inches out the back, so it's way too long. I didn't have rails for any of that stuff or anything. I'd like to put some drawers in it, like actual usable drawers in the bottom of it or something, but I don't know. I've looked at them on Amazon, and they're quite pricey, so I'm kind of hoping some of them will show up in scrap somewhere.
I've got 9-10-inch rag mount scrap shelves. They're part of the co-missile stuff that I have on my property. Those cartridges that I have for tow missiles.
You gave me a bunch of shelves with them. I'm talking about, like, if you look on Amazon and you type in 19-inch server rack drawer, like there's an actual closing locking drawer that you can buy that goes in a server rack, and I thought it was cool. They come in anywhere from like I think 1U all the way up to 4U depth.
Oh, we got that stuff in the basement. We should lose some space on the repeater. But we got some stuff like that in the basement. This is WSUY-A42. I didn't need a repeater ID, but hey, here it is. I'm pretty sure we have that stuff either on the big truck that's on the back of the building, or we've got that stuff down in the basement to build that stuff out. One of my most hated things to receive from people are their doggone drawer kits for 19-inch rack. We got lots of 19-inch rack stuff, and I know for sure out at the farm we still have two trucks No, we have one truck now that is still full of 9-inch rack adaptable stuff.
I'd like to get my hands on some of that because I'd like to make my rack a lot more useful. Like, that was my intent when I took that thing home, was to build it out and put some cool stuff in it to make it a very useful unit for in my living room. Like, it's just my intent for it to house everything. I kind of wanted to put my gear in it too so that I could have the, you know, the monitor and everything on my desk, but the power was safely housed away up in there. And I'm thinking about trying to stuff it in a smaller case so I can do that.
Yeah, that might work. I'm thinking about something else coming in the near future where we run a LCD monitor to show people what they want under the glass on the front counter without showing them what we're showing ourselves.
Yeah, where you can basically just right-click and save the stock photo to the computer and then pop it up on the auxiliary monitor. That's actually kind of a cool idea.
Yeah, and I got to announce, I got to get a printout going on that I have Xboxes. I think we got like 40 Xbox, they're not Xboxes, they're Game Boys, 40 Game Boys, and I want to put up a big old thing about GMRS because we got all that new GMRS inventory.
For identification purposes, the USFDA 53, at some point this weekend I'm going to try to mess around with that Motorola mic and see if I can set it up to work with this radio.
Are you using the Bofang mic? Because it sounds good.
Yeah, I'm using that one right now. I just kind of want to try out that Motorola one. The plug don't fit nothing I have and the cable's all banged up. So, and then I got that one that I took the microphone out of that you said sounded like crap. So take a pigtail off that one and move it to the Motorola one and try that out, just to have an extra microphone. I was explaining to my mom about this radio stuff today, too, and how I got into it. How, like, if I bought a second radio, I could drop one off at her house and she could use my call sign basically as station 2 and whatnot. And I was explaining that to another boyfriend, like, why I got into this and what's so good about it. First thing I got asked when I walked into my mom's house today is why I was wearing a radio and a microphone.
I didn't know if you went away or did I go away because my battery warning came on and my XGS 5000 was like,
You went away. I don't even remember what I was saying, but I said something and I didn't get a response back, so I figured your beer delivery arrived.
Beer delivery was successful, but you were talking about you walked into your mom's house with a microphone on, and I said she probably thought you were from another planet.
Oh, yeah, I didn't hear that, but it must have been when your radio cut you off or something. Yeah, they asked why I had a radio and a mic on when I walked in.
Yeah. And hard line in my truck. I'm going to try to put my antenna up tomorrow. And then I'm looking at a couple of sexy 6-meter antennas to finish out the repeater build. But the 911 build is going to wind up being probably a bunch of drawer units connected to faceplates through the consulate system, because I am sick of the consulate system and their, I don't know what you call that, intermediate board. It's awful.
I just dropped a funny little nugget over in the drink tank. You should go check it out.
Yeah, I'll get right over there. Currently, I'm servicing the refrigerator. There seems to be a beer leak, so I have to make sure this gets done carefully without any kind of spillage.
I'd be drinking some Thanksgiving Day here if I had the money for that, but a good part of the money went to gas.
Yeah, your boss is an asshole.
I gotta put a thermostat in that car. It's not warming up very well, and it's making it run really rich, so it's getting like 15 miles per gallon or something like that right now. It kind of comes and goes in waves. Like, you can feel it when you're driving it, when it starts running rich. You can almost watch the gas gauge drop while you're driving, and then when it clears up, it'll be real smooth for 15, 20 minutes, and it'll do that again for a few minutes, and it's like going back and forth with it. Like, not even quite reaching the first mark on the temperature gauge, so it's probably running like 150, 160 degrees. When you come in Monday, bring that fancy scanner with you.
My GM Tech 1, or Tech 2, I mean?
Yeah.
Alright. I don't see anything on Prank Tank that you put up new.
Should be the most recent post in the group.
Oh, crap. That looks like one of my last house guests. She'll fill your script at the Kroger's on Pearson Road.
What did you say?
Nothing. I said she'll fill your script on Pearson Road.
Fill my script on Pearson Road. Not sure what that means, but okay.
No. Nope, wouldn't say okay. Anyhow, on to other things. Snow in Michigan. Michigan snow. It's expected to be 1 foot in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and probably light dusting in Flint area of Michigan tomorrow afternoon, with the possibility of being really damn cold and a potential for, oh my goodness, is this winter, followed by, ooh, summer's coming soon.
It was snowing on my way home.
I know. I went out and Nurse Nooner was dropping me off a plate of goodness and gave my mother half a pumpkin pie. And I looked up from Nurse Nooner's vehicle and saw that the sky was Jessica Pine needs some new snow.
turn momentarily, but I strained my gizzard.
Alright. So, this is WSUA 42. Feels weird because we got a 15-minute repeater mark, but it is what it is. You're not quite into the repeater yet.
Let's try this one and see if it works. Whiskey San Charlie Zebra 810.
Bingo. WSY 8.2. Travis, how you doing?
Chat with you again. This is Paige. We chatted last week about the specters and stuff. I am currently on Route 10 somewhere between Midwin and Bay City. I was on the Bay City machine, which apparently doesn't work very well, so I switched over to Saginaw.
Yeah, what it is. Did not work through pre-pago. Excuse me. I got my mouth full of nuts. But it's pretty good. It is what it is.
You're used to doing the privacy of your own home. You know, that's your business. We don't judge here. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was pretty good. I actually cooked up a couple of pounds of tenderloin. And followed it with a vegetable melody. I didn't go out. Most of my family's not worth a shit, so I don't visit them. And had a pretty good evening, years after all.
That all my family up and moved on me, so didn't have to worry about that. My roommate went to her son and daughter-in-law's for Thanksgiving, so she brought me back a plate, and you know, I got that carted in the car with me, and I'll take that to work tonight, and that'll be my dinner.
Yeah, I got a girl that drops me a nice plate. She even brought my mom a piece of pumpkin pie. Well, two pieces, because I don't need that shit. That stuff caused me some heartburn from elsewhere. I'm going to pit to hell probably if I eat some pumpkin pie.
I used to go all out crazy on the holidays. My stomach can't handle that anymore.
Yeah, right to that. I'll do pretty all right. I pissed around all day long, didn't do a thing. Thought about putting up a UHF antenna. I sell these new antennas that are amateur and GMRS compatible. And I thought, I'll forget putting in the air about 044. Couldn't figure it out. Wait a minute. Couldn't figure out my ambition. Didn't do it. Sat around, ate some nuts, kicked around, had some dinner, and I've just been blowing off time. Tomorrow, probably rinse, repeat.
After that, I have been working 7 nights a week because our other night person had gotten themselves fired, and they hired somebody who wasn't worth a you-know-what, so they had to let him go, and then they finally hired this other person. I actually got some time off this week, which was kind of amazing. Didn't know what to do with myself. It would have been so long, it felt like. So, yeah, that's pretty much what my weekend is, you know. Work, sleep, repeat, you know, for the next several days.
Yeah, Roger. Useful people, they are what they are. And them who think they can do just as much. They do just enough to get paid. I don't have no pride in that. Back in my day, we did everything we could. We even tried to show off so the boss was like, hey, you're promotable. Or, hey, you're working an extra 50 a week.
I was in the hotel, man, and I had to rewrite all the employee handbooks to include other duties as because some people wanted to have the attitude of, oh, it's not my job. Well, you know what it is now.
Well, the moment somebody starts coming into my office and identifies the cat in the litter box, it is the day that I actually put them down because I think they're feral.
Well, I was, you know, pretty expectant of the staff when I was in management. I also had a very strict policy that I wasn't going to send them to do anything that I want to do. And, you know, when I wasn't busy with other tasks, you know, I would be right there with the housekeepers trying to get rooms up or help get laundry put through or whatever needed to be done. So,
what did he work in? A jail or a hotel?
Well, the one I worked in, I wasn't exactly sure half the time because, you know, the housekeeper didn't show up to work. First thing I did was look at the jail roster, see if they got locked up the night before. So I would look at the jail roster and the reservation board and not be sure which one I was looking at any given moment. But, you know, it was a hotel.
Oh, Roger that. I travel to hotels, and I do it for business. I always try to do my best to make sure that your guys' lifestyle is at least impacted by mine.
My now ex would make fun of me when we traveled because before we left, I'd make sure that all the trash was always bagged up and, you know, everything was stripped down and all the sheets were in one pile and towels in another and trying to make it as neat as I can. And she'd get on me like, you know, what are you doing all that for? You know, that's what they pay the housekeepers for. And I'm like, let me tell you something. I used to write their paychecks. They don't pay them nearly enough.
No, and that's the problem. I see nowadays when I go to places, I stay at the Four Corners and the Saginaw, and I know that they have outside help. If it was in-house help, I would put down a tip on the bed, but with outside help, I just don't do it.
Yeah, I work at a Baymont up there near Saginaw, and our housekeepers are actually pretty good over there. I don't even know how much they're making because I'm not involved in management over there. But, you know, they seem to do a pretty good job. We don't really get too many complaints. I mean, obviously, every once in a while you're going to get a Karen, or every once in a while something's going to slip by somebody. It happens. But, you know, they do a pretty good job where I'm at. The place that I came from, they didn't do such a good job, but a lot of that was just because of attitudes and stuff. But I get it, they don't make a lot of money, but, you know, at the same time, the hotel's not making a lot of money either. That's kind of where the problem is nowadays. Whiskey San Carlos, Zebra 810 Friday.
Yes, CYA42. So, that Baymont, the Four Corners up there, Four Square, what the hell they call that thing, is that in-house or is that rent out?
It's all in-house.
Well, maybe I'll drop a dime on the bill then. A little better than a dime, obviously, but I don't seem to get messed around with.
Service is always good.
Yeah, just south of Saginaw in Bridgeport there, just the next exit down from Saginaw. The rates are relatively reasonable as long as it's during the week. On the weekends, they're outrageous right now because there's always something going on up in front of the moose. But we got a pool in a hot tub, and we put out a really good breakfast every morning. I know that because I make it every morning. But, yeah, we do scrambled eggs, biscuits and gravy, pancakes, and all kinds of other stuff.
Well, that sounds good. Yeah. Well, I travel, it's usually January. Martin Luther King weekend in Flint, and then the weekend following after that in Saginaw.
Yeah, you're not terribly far. If I remember correctly, I think you're down near Owosso or somewhere down that way.
Yeah, go ahead and read that last one. I missed out on some vocal noise.
Okay. I looked up your shop. I just never sent a message to you, which I meant to do, because I definitely want to come visit you there one day and look through the museum you got going on down there.
That's true. We have a museum. We also got a bunch of nice new GMRS antennas, GMRS cables for program radios. We got a lot of GMRS stuff. We've got connectors. We got all sorts of things. I'm ordering more and more stuff every day. I just want to get the equipment into people's hands so they can further invest themselves in this hobby and have the proper and correct equipment.
Yeah, roger that. That's definitely a good thing. I'm going to be in the market here for a mobile antenna pretty soon.
I'm going to be having mobile antennas pretty soon. We'll even potentially start doing mobile installations, depending on the complexity of it. But I've always been a gnarly one. I drill the NMO hole in the roof with the good quality ground on the antenna, and that's how I make my signal go for 60 miles on my truck.
I have to eventually do that. I'm not quite sure yet if I'm going to be keeping this vehicle or not. You know, once tax season rolls around and I see what kind of money I'm getting back from Uncle Sam there, once I figure out if I'm going to keep this vehicle or get another one, I definitely want to get a couple of antennas mounted with the NMOs there, because yeah, I totally agree with you. They make a big difference.
So do you guys get busier when big events like the Shrine Circus comes to town, etc.?
I'm not sure exactly about the Shriner Circus that we really get that busy. It seems like for those, it's just a lot of locals that go to those. Not a lot of people travel in to see it. That's been my experience. But in Frankenmuth, there's always a ton of stuff going on there. You know, like during the summer, they got something going on every weekend. And then even during the winter time, they got like Snowfest and stuff that we get totally slammed on.
Okay, so you're out of the Frankenmuth side of things. Okay. I travel the other side. I travel far Saginaw, and I travel into Flint. And, you know, I appreciate the staff that are doing their job, because that's a hell of a job. You've asked yourself to go out and deal with the Karens, the Kyles, and the Crazies, and then you've got to clean up after all the crazy and whatever the heck happened where you're seriously just scratching your forehead.
Well, I'm at now. My biggest hassle is trying to figure out how to stay awake all night. It's pretty quiet there. We have a pretty good clientele. Every once in a blue moon, you get a little something going on, but not a tremendous amount. The place that I manage, it stays pretty much rocking though, and we had the basically the police department on speed dial, and they were about to open a substation, it felt like. But, you know, this is kind of a vacation for me now.
CYA-42 with the identification system. I was going to buy a place up in Cadillac, Michigan called McGuire. And I had the financing for it and everything in place. And then I decided at the last minute, it just didn't seem like it was moving very good. And then Marriott bought it. So good for them.
The hospitality industry as a whole is a tough industry these days. You know, you really got to have some kind of a gimmick going on, or you got to be in a really prime spot. The property that I managed, we had two different properties that we were running next door to each other. One of them was a Wyndham property, the other one was a Choice property. And during the summer, we stayed sold out pretty much all summer. Especially on the weekends, and then, you know, about a week after Labor Day, we were dead again until, you know, just before Memorial Day. So in the off-season, we might have, out of, you know, 140 rooms, we might have 15 of them rented out. So, yeah, it's a pretty tricky game.
Hey, Justin, you still out there? Kind of wondering, you were floating in the aftermath of my Motorola implosion.
Yeah, I'm still out here just kind of waiting for Greg to get back in since I went to bring the main thing.
Well, that's how we'll do it. We'll just run a round table and introduce ourselves to each other. I'm Travis, WSCY-842. I'll send it down to housekeeping.
Zebra, I'm an auditor. Darn it. Whiskey San Charlie Zebra, 810. First name is Paige.
I am WSFB 853. My name is Justin.
Well, there we go. My mom's giving sound advice to the German Shepherd. Swallow it whole.
As well. The German Shepherd, heed the advice, because Mom always knows best. Justin, pleasure to meet you there.
Yeah, you too, man.
We've been camped out all day. I literally haven't gone anywhere. Kind of weird. I've been on the run for the last 365 days, and today is a national day off, so I just ordered beer in. Dog's doing its thing, everything's going well, and then I leave for circus come January, so I gotta figure out what's gonna happen then for the dogger.
Yeah, I kinda do some
fake Ubering on the side here, and, you know, the days that I had off, nobody needed to go anywhere. Now, all of a sudden, that I'm back to work, everybody's got to go somewhere. So I just got back from Midwind and just kind of killing some time until I got to go to my regular job there. But that's how it goes.
Well, just pop in there, Justin.
Sorry, I'm still here, just kind of doing some stuff on the side here.
I'm trying to express my schedule to my mother. So we figure that out. But, yeah. Pretty soon I'm going to be testing on a new project I have going on, which is my 440 Vietnam Link system. Not sure how it's going to roll, but I'm going to try to make my Vietnam era gear work as GMRS through a small licensed repeater kit.
Slightly sounds to me, if I'm hearing you properly, that you've got a way too much free time on your hands.
Free time? What's that? My idea of free time is like coming home from work, sitting down in a recliner, watching something on TV, and the wife brings me cookies and milk. Reality, I come from home, I come from work, I get here, and do more work. I research more nonsense, and then I do more nonsense until I finally go to bed. Travis and free time never land in the same bus.
My free time consists of going to the bathroom, locking the door, and taking a poop. That's about the only free time I have for myself anymore.
Unfortunately, I'm still doing things on my phone that research whatever I'm looking at the time being, and then thinking, other people are probably TikToking while I'm doing this.
Hey, you gotta do what you gotta do, I guess. Over to you, Justin. Maybe he locked himself in the bathroom and pooped without his radio. Over to you, Travis.
Either that or he's saying that to his boss. yeah, no, I'm terribly dialed in. And today was, like, so foreign for me because I didn't have any work to do. I didn't have anybody to talk about work about. I didn't do work. And I was up, and I made a big old pitcher of tea to kind of, like, subset my coffee addiction. And I wandered around in the house, and finally I cooked two steaks, a bunch of carrots and onions, and sat down and watched a movie, and then was like, not happy, wanted to go to work.
I kind of struggled on Monday there. I had no idea what to do with myself with that time off.
I just started breaking up on the doggone repeater. So, yeah, I was out there, and I couldn't figure it out.
One of you said something to me earlier, I missed it. I heard a crash in the next room, I had to go investigate, it sounded expensive.
Two cats.
Yes, that's why I said I heard a crash in the next room, it sounded expensive.
Expensive, or did it just sound expensive?
You're not really breaking the repeater anymore.
Sounds all right.
All right, well, let's go ahead and try this one.
There you go. That worked. Send it again.
So, riddle me this. I'm in Bay City, and I used the Saginaw machine instead of the Bay City machine. Now I'm in Saginaw, and I got to use the Mayville machine instead of the Saginaw one.
Well, that's working. I got to tell you that. Yeah, my Motorola is, sleeping peacefully in its Empress charger. But I'm talking on my Quashang egg roll radio.
I'll take an order of egg roll radio you got
20%.
There. Travis,
go ahead
if you're in there.
Yeah, copied you, Justin, with your low battery warning. Smuck that thing in the charger and let it warm its biscuits on the microphone and use it. But, yeah, I copied you, too. Golly damn it, I can't remember your name. Cleaner of the old hotels.
Paige, Papa Alpha India Golf Echo.
Yeah, Paige, I'm Travis, you know that. There's Justin over there. Justin works for me at the radio shop. His radio's committing poopy. So, he's got a, what is that thing? It's a Bullfang. And he has zero radio experience, so he's trying to figure all the stuff out. So my question, Paige, what do you guys do when somebody sharts to bed?
Get thrown out, the backers get treated with chemicals, usually it's not terribly bad into the mattress, and we put mattress pads on them anyway, so, you know, worst comes to worst, the mattress pad, you have to get thrown out and spray it down, as long as it didn't get all the way into the mattress, we're pretty good on it, but there's all kinds of biohazard, this and that stuff that we spray it down with.
And if I ever meet you, I'm going to buy every drink all night long for you.
Well, you know what? I'd rather deal with a crappy mattress than, you know, dead bodies. I've had to deal with three of them in my career, and that's definitely not fun.
Yeah, all dead bodies bring their own crap. That happens. But hopefully they're wearing pajamas. And it contains.
Yeah, I dealt with a medical, a suicide, and an overdose.
Let me guess. In your region, overdose would have been the Clio region. Two-story. And let's see. No, I'm throwing the coins out there right now.
Nope, you would have been wrong anyway. All three of them were at the place that I used to manage down in Indiana.
Oh, I'm just trying to think of things that are primer roster type things. So, yeah, nope. But, well, that's already two. You know, it happens. Ain't nothing anybody can do about it.
No, it's inevitable. You know, it's all part of the industry. I think if you ever went to a hotel once, it was like super brand new, and, you know, any hotel that's been around for a long time, if they tell you no one's ever died there, they're lying.
Yeah, I always think of when I go to a hotel, like staying at a hospital, somebody kicked it.
Alrighty, I just shot you a thing on your website there, introducing myself, and you got my email on there.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Instead of being the girl that normally takes care of the stuff. We have a sexual harassment policy. We slap her in the ass once per good quality, two for a great contact, and three for a good sale.
I guess I'll have to call her and, you know, let her make a good sale there.
I'll see you out back by the service truck when you're done.
Years and years ago, I had a sign on my office that said, you know, sexual harassment is not a problem around here. It's one of the benefits.
She has a sign on her desk, Effer in charge of all the effing effers in this office.
Mine was right underneath the sign of Sylvester the Cat pointing down the hall with the caption saying, "Would you be terribly offended if I asked you to take your silly ass problem down the hall?"
Oh, she's by far more... Oh, my goodness. That's so amateur. We can't talk about the things that come out of her mouth. Or all the people that with your burps.
Sounds like a fun place to work.
We're terrible. That's all we do. Justin, are you still out there, or are you just trying to hump the cat?
I'm still here.
How is a work day with Jess?
It's fine for me. I can't say the same for you.
He seems to believe I'm going to get murdered at work. It still might happen, but I don't believe it.
I'm telling you, one of these days, you're going to make her mad, and I'm going to come into work and be like, where's Travis? She's just going to throw up her hands and be like, I don't know. And then I'm going to find your half-rotten body in the service truck outside like a week later when I go out there to look for something.
As long as it happens on your work site and not mine, I'm totally okay with that.
She fired somebody once and turned them into a Halloween decoration zombie for COVID, which was hilarious because they had a gas mask, name tag, COVID suit, SCBA system. She went all out. It really disgusted customers, but it pleasured her.
As long as she's happy, right?
We hope she is. Otherwise, I think we're due.
One of these days, she's going to get to me, I'm telling you.
WSUY-842, for identification purposes. It's snowing in Flint Township. And it's snowing like an MF. But yeah, she has a real interest in murderizing people.
Mostly just you.
It's been kind of worrying on and off here just a tiny little bit.
I haven't gone outside yet to see how much worse the snow's gotten here. I'm out of Corona.
Well, right now in Flint Township, it's snowing hard.
I'd like to imagine it's probably headed this way, because we're not too far apart.
Theoretically, it should be coming from you to me. I'm east of you.
Well, then there's probably already a bunch of snow outside.
More wood on the fire.
Yeah, I wanted to have a beer about it for Thanksgiving myself, but $2 isn't going to get me very much beer.
You should get one of them cardboard signs, I'll do whatnot, blah, 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 or I need whatnot, blah, 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 and stand out there at Grand and 21. You probably made $500-$600 a day. All right, well, I'm going to have one more beer with you, ruffians. I'm going to go to bed.
pogo is red hot. I'm lined up.
Alrighty, Travis. Have a good night there. Pleasure chatting with you. Justin, pleasure meeting you. I'm kind of going to be wandering around here a little bit looking at pretty little Christmas tree lights until it's time to go to work. So you folks have a good night, and we'll do it again sometime. Whiskey Sam Charlie Zebra, 810.
Oh, that wasn't an invitation to leave. That was my assessment for the evening.
Understood. I'm just kind of doing my own thing over here anyway right now. So, anyway, yeah, have yourself a good one.
All right, well, take care and have a great evening. Hope it all goes well. Hope you have a lot of great shifts. And I'll be doing this to do my best. Excuse me, it's just baloney. I'll do my damnedest to do my best to be good to those that housekeep my home when I'm staying in those wonderful establishments.
We certainly appreciate that. Have a good one.
Speaking of that, Justin, my circus schedule is coming soon.
Circus schedule, huh?
We'll go on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I'm going home. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. On the next one. What are you going to do to put your antenna upside the house?
Make some kind of an apparatus to get it up high and get more cable.
Did you see the message Jeff sent about Thanksgiving?
I didn't open it yet.
You're probably going to want a counselor. I actually just stopped before I watched the end of it. It was pretty troubling. Well, I'm going to piss out. This is WSUA 842. Going to bed.
WRUG 488, WRZP 544. WRZB 544, monitoring the frequency.
WIUG 488, go ahead, Bob.
I gather your belly's full from Turkey Day and you had a good visit with your family, Roger.
Well, Bob, you're right. I filled up my tummy and ate lots and drink about 3 beers. Now I'm a drinking tea, you know, to flush everything down and get the thing straight. Tea is the best. When you eat a lot, you drink tea, hot tea. I drink it without sugar. And really, I'm still here over at my daughter's house. And I don't know where I'm going home. Roger?
Roger that. Well, you're a truly blessed man, sir, and I want to tell you and yours, happy holiday season, Jack. I'm headed out of the shack, and I'm going in to put my full tummy to bed as well. So, again, a pleasure as always, sir. Best to you and yours, WRZP 544. Clarence signing off on your final, sir.
You the same. You take care. Yeah, have a good night. WIUG 488.
WSFT 308, it has been a good day. I hope everyone else has also had a great day. I appreciate it. Appreciate y'all. I'll stand by. WSFT 308. Anybody got their Christmas lights up yet? Over.
WSFT 853. I certainly do not have my Christmas lights up yet.
Okay, I'm just curious. I don't know what the standard is, but it just seemed like Thanksgiving Day was a good day, or maybe the day after. I'm going to go get a Christmas tree tomorrow, and I'm thinking, you know, I like a live tree. How do you feel about it? Over.
That sounds expensive.
Fake trees, I've had many over the years. They're always a pain in the you-know-what, and they never smell like pine. I love the smell of a good pine tree. So I think I'm going for a real tree, but I think last year I spent like $85 on a six-foot tree.
Have too many cats to have a tree.
A little fuzzy there. I heard you got too many cats, I think, for a tree. Must be out there a ways from the repeater. Where are you located? Over.
I'm in Corona, 16 miles from the Flint repeater.
Okay, yep, that explains it. Are you on a handheld? Over.
Both a 5RM.
Okay, yeah, I'm on a Bofang as well. I got the a little bit newer version of the 5RM. I don't remember.
AR,
the 5RM.
You're coming through pretty staticky yourself here and there.
That's interesting, because I ended up getting, you know, one of those Nagoya 771s, But I hear that the 771G is the better antenna, but I got this big old antenna on it, and I'm usually coming in pretty clear, so that's new news. I did hear some recently about static coming through the repeater. I don't know if that's still going on. I heard it the other night, though. But otherwise, I'm pretty much picking you up. Over.
Yeah, you're sounding pretty all right. Pretty impressive what this little radio can do.
Yeah, I just, you know, the only thing about it is I've noticed there's definitely a lot of areas in Michigan that I can't reach a repeater from. Family has a cabin in the Farwell area around Clare, and I've tried to reach several repeaters from there, and I can't seem to do it.
I did a quick search today, and I didn't realize just how many repeaters there really are all over Michigan. I thought there was only a couple, but what was I mistaken?
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, if you've got your ham license, there's a ton of repeaters to connect to, but GMRS is so limited, and I know there's guys that are advocating for it and trying to expand it, but at the time, like, I didn't see really anything around Traverse City or, you know, the upper west side of the Lower Peninsula.
Somebody was in here earlier, Captain Don. He was telling me about the repeater book, and I checked that out earlier, and that's where I found, that's for mostly ham, but there's a GMRS section too, and there's a list of repeaters in there that's completely different from what the MIH website usually shows.
Yeah, I've been to that site. There's a few of them out there. And, you know, I mean, it's funny that you're able to listen in on, but I guess trying to reach them, I mean, this the ARM, it's a 10-watt radio. And so I've had some pretty good luck in some places that I didn't think I'd get reception. But then I've had some issues in some other areas.
I'm actually going to hop off here for a while since the radio is just now giving me a low voltage warning, so WSFE 853, going to clear the air for now.
Yep, no worries, brother. You have yourself a good evening, happy Thanksgiving, and we'll meet again. WS, Midtown 308, clear.